Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. We have Griffey joining the M's ownership group. The Cards have a new skipper and our World Series preview right now.
Nine Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome to another episode of the Baseball Together podcast, baseball family. As always, I am Brad, and I'm here with our guy on my left. That way, there we go. That's my right. Brig is here on either side of the screen, whichever one you're watching on YouTube.
Hey.
He's yeah, there.
I'm here.
Barely. So, okay, Brig, we got some stuff to get into. World Series starts today, first things first. For those of you listening on the first day of this release, on Tuesday, October the 26th, we have the Braves and the Astros. I mean, we'll get there. We'll get there in a little bit. We're going to do our whole World Series preview. But for now, first things first. Let's start with the biggest news actually of the day. This dropped this morning. I woke up to this headline. I wasn't entirely sure what it meant when I saw it, so I had to do some digging, some reading. Mm-hmm. I actually did some reading, believe it or not. And it turns out my hero, Ken Griffey Jr., has joined the Mariners ownership group.
100%.
That's awesome. That's so exciting for me, and I'll tell you why. Because in the past, I mean, we saw the whole Kevin Mather issue last year right before spring training or right before the season started, where it was a guy who was clearly a businessman working for a baseball team and just out there like, yeah, we're overpaying this guy. This guy's boring and overrated. We're getting overpaid for our TV deal, blah, 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 all this stuff. Instead, this is a player who's widely beloved by baseball fans internationally. It doesn't matter what team you're a fan of in the 90s, everybody was a fan of Ken Griffey Jr. And that was something, and that's verified. I saw that on social media today. Everybody's like, I was a Yankees fan. I love Griffey. I was a Braves fan. I love Griffey. Brig, Yankees fan, loves Griffey. So
met him. Nice guy.
So jealous. But anyway, so it's a big deal for the Mariners ownership group because they can, they have somebody there who legitimately, like, to say that Jerry DePoto doesn't understand baseball, like, that's wrong because he was a pitcher. He knows baseball. Yeah. But to understand the importance of the marketing side of baseball, who's somebody who went through the thickest of the thick of it with the marketing side of baseball in the 90s who legitimately transformed the marketing arm of Major League Baseball. To have him in the front office in Seattle is a majorly big deal. And somebody who wants to win. He's got the itch to win. Today he said in his press conference, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the exact quote off the top of my head, but he said that he's excited to work with a bunch of people who want to win. So I thought that was awesome. That he sees that. He sees that in the front office. So,
well, that's awesome. You got to feel good about that.
Oh, so good about it. Feel so good. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I saw this and I was ecstatic. I'm so happy that he's back with the Mariners. I always hoped he would come back at some aspect. I wasn't sure what it would be because he was there a little bit in like a – it wasn't like a player development, but it was almost like a player liaison role or something like that.
After they brought him back from Chicago, you mean?
Well, no. It was after he retired.
Oh, yeah. Not
yeah, he was
the deal. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it was like a really, really small role. It was basically like you'll see him around the stadium now and then. You'll see him around the spring training facility, maybe. But he's part of the organization. But this is a significant role. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Part of the ownership group.
That's amazing. That's super cool. And you're right. Just I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to be upset about this at all. No.
Yeah.
Unless maybe you're the Houston Astros or the Angels of Anaheim. because this could be significant tectonic shift in the AL West.
This could
foreshadow a lot of craziness.
Well, think about this. Like, so in the NBA, Jay-Z owned a part of the Nets.
Yeah.
Right. And so there was always like, well, there's the Jay-Z factor in New Jersey before they moved to Brooklyn. You know, right. Thinking a lot of guys were going to want to go play for Jay-Z, but Jay-Z owned like 0.1% of the Nets.
I own 0.1% of all kinds of things.
Exactly right. But I do wonder if guys are going to be attracted to Seattle as free agents now, being able to have the opportunity to play with Griffey, have a chance to possibly talk shop with him in the clubhouse, on the field, because I don't know how much he's going to be like around, visible, you know.
Right.
He seems like he's been more visible the last several years than he was a few years before that. So.
Well, in the last 1 to 2 specifically, he's gotten a lot of play. His marketing collateral has gone way up.
Oh, big time.
Big time. And he's
Nike brought back the Griffey shoes. I saw I saw 4 kids wearing Griffey Nikes at a D-backs game this season.
Dude.
Teal and white Griffey Nikes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's significant. And my question is, how does this impact his role with Major League Baseball? Is he still... Right?
Yeah, that's something that I'm not quite sure about. Because I was actually telling Mel about that today, about our conversation that we had about him on the track to be a commissioner. I was like, does this like fast track that maybe? Because like the Bud Selig road, right?
Right. Whoa.
I know he's not a principal owner, but at the same time, he's in the ownership group. And so owners are going to be like, okay, he sees a little bit more of our perspective now. He's not just going to be a player's commissioner.
Smart. So, whoa, that's smart. Well, and there's not an inherent conflict of interest there, right? He can serve both organizations in mutually beneficial capacities. Mm-hmm. That's the best part. And mutually exclusive capacities as well. It doesn't even have to be beneficial. So I love it, man. I love it. And if this is the first couple of moves on the chessboard, like to make sure he gets in there, ooh, I just love it. I love everything about it.
Yep. Yeah, and hopefully it'll help with the CBA, and we'll get there, because we always do. But
we have to, especially anyway, today.
Yes. Okay, so let's get on to the St. Louis Cardinals here real quick. So we talked about Mike Schilt got fired. That was a surprise to everyone. Everyone involved, still, not involved.
I'm still shocked.
Still in shock. But they seem to have moved on quickly, hired Oliver Marmol. He was the bench coach since 2019.
It's been a couple of years, yeah.
Well, but here's the shocking thing, Brig. And I had this same existential crisis when Rocco Baldelli got hired as manager for the Twins. He's my age.
Yeah.
Like, what have I done?
Excuse me?
I mean, granted, Brig. He did play baseball, so he had like the in, right? But it's like, what have I done? This dude's 35 years old, and he's the manager of a Major League Baseball team.
That's right. You're the co-host of the Baseball Together podcast.
You're right.
Bam. You start feeling good about yourself, my friend. We have an international following, and yes, some of them are Russian spies, but it's okay. Still international.
International, nonetheless. We could get one listener in Mexico and it'd be considered international. Let's be real.
Well, yeah, but we have listeners all over the world, like literally.
We do. I know we do.
Well, but not everybody else knows.
That's true. You're right.
Anyway,
I
brought that up in my talk, the speech.
I know. I read that. That was very good.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, it's legit. Okay. The point is, can we talk about the Yankees, please?
Let's move on and talk about the. Hold on, real quick. I want to talk about this one, just a little bit more though. I'm curious though, like if this hire. Is it like are they hiring a company man, or are they hiring a guy who they think can actually lead the Cardinals to the next level?
So you want my honest opinion? It feels like what the Mets did. Remember they brought that guy in for 1 year? They're like, let's see what happens, but we don't expect a lot, and this buys us time to get rid of the Beltran situation and fix the internal issues. And, you know, if you win, then good. But if you don't, it's okay. You know, I feel that's how this feels to me, just personally.
And you might be right, because you've got Wainwright, who's got one more year. Yachty, who's got one more year, and they might just be waiting to bring in a player development manager.
Yep.
Because Yachty and Wainwright are not going to want that.
No. And they're not going to – they don't want to start fresh with somebody new because they're a talented team. They've got a great potential for even next season. So you got to maintain as much of the status quo as possible. So you bring in your bench coach and you make him the skipper, but you know their players are running the – right? Like, especially Yachty. He's running the show.
Yeah.
And – I think Adam Wainwright's in the same boat, right? Those two together, dynamic, quality leadership team. Mm-hmm. So you bring in a guy, I'm not saying he's a doormat. That's not what I'm saying. But right. I think they work as three legs of the stool and you get a holistic clubhouse and it's stable for that last year you need to see if you can really pull it off. And if not, that's okay. Then we can rebuild. That's how it feels.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you. Okay, Brig, go ahead. Let's talk about the Yankees.
Okay. All right.
Tell us about this.
Okay, Gerrit Cole and Brett Gardner are having a tizzy.
Well, they had a tizzy fit. This is like, what, like April, May, something like that? Mm-hmm.
Yes, they had a tizzy fit. And the point is, Brett Gardner is walking around with pine tar on his hat, joking that pitchers have to stop using the sticky stuff, right? And it was a big joke and all this stuff. Well, Gerrit Cole didn't think it was very funny. And he comes up swinging. And they get into a row and right into Gardy's face. And then a couple of days later, he apologized for the whole thing. Okay? Now, this could explain. Remember? Do you remember? This just came to light. But do you remember all season long, I was like, something's going on in the clubhouse. There's some kind of weird dynamic. There's some kind of – and we thought Rizzo would come in and stabilize things. And he maybe did a little bit or whatever. He softened, but it wasn't always solved completely. And now we're like, oh, that's what was going on. Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, Brett Gardner owns that clubhouse right now.
Yeah, he's the last member of that 2009 World Series team.
That's right. Once CC left, the whole thing was Brett Gardner's.
Yeah.
He runs the show, and nobody's calling anybody else captain right now. So it's not that. It's all seniority instead of, you know, merit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that Brett Gardner doesn't warrant a bunch of merit. He absolutely does. Now, I love Brett Gardner. I know a lot of people hate Brett Gardner, but I think he's fantastic. I know you do. I love him. I love Brett Gardner. And I'm telling you.
I know you do. I know you do.
And we all know why. It's his passion. It's his sass. It's
the intangibles. It's the intangibles.
That's exactly right.
And that was – and the article I read about this, actually, like, that's what it said. And there were a lot of fans who chimed in on it and were saying, like, of course Gerrit Cole doesn't like the guy who's been deemed the captain of this team and has been for several years.
Yeah.
You know, that he's having a hard time getting along with him. But the problem is that Gerrit Cole has a contract of over $300 million. And I believe Gardner's just expired this year, right?
Yep. So yes, he's a free agent at the end of the
year. What are they going to do? They're going to listen to Gerrit Cole, who they have all that money tied up in, and is probably going to be difficult to move at this point.
Or super hard without spider tack.
Yeah, or Gardner, who's pushing 40.
And still producing.
Somewhat.
Still producing. Still leading the clubhouse with intangibles.
Yeah.
There's a lot of production. You know, that goes on there. I'm just saying, like, you need a leadoff hitter that's going to swing for the fences, and he's not going to hit a home run, but he's going to get a base hit. And you get break.
Yeah.
Not every time. I understand. However,
you're right.
He plays with intensity. He plays with heart. Cole plays with intensity, but there's no, like.
That's a good point, though. Like, does he play with heart?
No.
It seems like he's a robot out there, honestly.
That's what I'm saying. And if he comes out on the field and plays like a robot and there's all that intensity, but there's none of that heart, none of that emotion. Mm-hmm. Brett Gardner has emotion. Brett Gardner is the dynamo in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. He will rally everybody together. And if he's having an off emotional day, everybody else can be off. But but Cole he's the opposite. He's just this. And it's either flat or it's accelerated to this like intensity, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. You're right. Okay. Let's go into the last thing here, Brig.
Okay.
Our favorite topic, Brig's pet topic here. We're going to talk about the CBA.
Well, did we skip a topic?
Oh, we did skip a topic. You're right. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
We'll get into my favorite thing.
We will get into. I just got so excited because there's news. But anyway, so
this is news, Brad.
It is news. Okay, this is so news. So we're going to cross over a little bit here. We're going to cross over to the NFL a little bit here. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady threw his 600th career touchdown pass on Sunday evening, depends on where you were. And Mike Evans, the receiver, caught it. And like he does, he went over and he gave the ball to a fan in the front row because he's a nice guy. Good for him. He didn't realize it was Brady's 600th. When he found, did you see the video of him finding out on the sideline break?
No.
Yeah, no. Somebody came over, told him, he put his hand on his head. He's like, oh no. He's like, that was the one. So
600 home runs, of you that don't know, is not a big deal. Like, it's not significant at all. It's just Tom Brady's being whiny about it. And
are you talking 600 touchdown passes?
That's sorry. Football and baseball. Yeah, 600 touchdown passes, no big deal.
No biggie. Right? It's just not that the next guy has like 400 something, I think.
It's the difference between Randy Johnson's strikeouts and the next guy.
It's fine. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so he gave this ball to a fan, and Tampa Bay Bucks, like the Bucks personnel basically walked over and started negotiating to get the ball back for him. Right? And initially it came out that he was given a game ball, a different game ball, and $1,000 to the team store.
Right.
That was it. That was all that he was given. And there was a lot of talk actually today on sports radio that this guy got jobbed because that ball was valued at around $500,000. Upwards of possibly $750,000.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Yeah. So you sent me a message though. You sent me a tech, an Instagram post about it. What was it?
A Twitter message by Rick Stroud at NFL Stroud. And he says, Bucks are giving Byron Kennedy, the guy who's the fan, right? The following for the number 600 touchdown football. Baseball family, stay with us. This is going to be relevant. We're going to tie it all together. 2 signed jerseys and a helmet from Tom Brady, a signed Mike Evans jersey and his game cleats, a $1,000 credit at the team store, and 2 season passes for the remainder of this season, as well as 2022.
There you go. There you go. That's more like it. The season tickets are where the money's at right there.
No, for sure.
Okay,
all 12 of them.
Yeah, it's true. I want to say there's, 7 this year? Probably 5 left this year and then 8 next year. But anyway, so, Brig, you had bring up your point. You're talking about this.
Okay, so I said to Brad, I said, why doesn't Major League Baseball do something like this? Like, wouldn't it be more fun if everybody knew that if they caught a home run ball, that there would be a reward for it of some kind? And Brad's like, we already do that, dude. And I'm like, shut up, dude. I know that. But what I'm talking about is baseball does not market this information at all. Okay? They don't tell people that if you catch a home run ball and there's any leverage to that situation at all, that you will be compensated for it. Okay. My argument is, this is back to your God of War thing. Like, where the freak, what are they doing? Now, if I'm telling you, if you told a bunch of baseball fans that, look, if you sit in the outfield, you bring your ball glove, you catch a home run ball, okay, not only will you be compensated, but based on the leverage of the situation, how high leverage is, or if there's a milestone or whatever it is, there will be a weighted compensation package of some kind that you'll earn. So if it's so-and-so's 100th home run, you're going to get this much in return. And these tiers are laid out potentially, or you know, greater than or equal to this or whatever, something like that. If there was a almost like playing bingo in the outfield, right? Like bingo. Like if you could raise your hand and yell like bingo, I won. It'd be like the lottery for home run balls caught in the outfield. And then you give away season tickets. You give away signed baseball bats and jerseys and batting helmets and gloves and cleats. You give away all this stuff, and everybody knows that it's coming. And the lowest cost stuff happens at the smallest level with the lowest leverage situations and those high leverage situations. So you know if it's a National League division series, somebody hits a home run, which is rare, you're going to get a bunch of crap out of that if you catch that ball. They're going to want that ball back. And even if they don't want it back, they're going to give you whatever it is to get the ball back, just because now they're just rewarding you for being a great fan, participating in the game, playing an active role. Even if the ball isn't necessarily high leverage, let's say it's August 1st, and you're sitting there and you're one of 14 fans and you happen to scurry over and grab a ball in Cleveland because there's 14 of you. Sorry, Cleveland. You know what I mean? Or you're in Pittsburgh, right? And you saved it from hitting, you know, the freaking bridge out there. I got to go see that. But the point is, if there was some reward in there based on catching a fly ball or a home run ball, I think that would be amazing. Okay. Everybody's all hot and bothered about catching foul balls anyway.
Right.
Right. Yeah, yeah. There's a status symbol associated with that. But if there was also a reward, would that not draw a better crowd? Wouldn't you get more people in the stands?
So, and I told you that this is already a thing, right? So I like the bingo thing. The problem is, the only problem with that, Brig, hold on. The only problem with that is that
defensive, Brad.
you just got to hear me out here. Problem with that is that then Major League Baseball loses negotiating power. And fans who catch those balls, those milestone balls, can be like, no, I want that. I can get more on from an auction. For example, I have this ready. Are you ready for this?
I knew you would. Go ahead.
Barry Bonds' 756th home run ball. Okay? That dude was at the bottom of a scrum getting clawed at his face, beaten up. He emerged from the pile with a bloody mouth and a bloody nose and this baseball. Okay? Topps offered him $100,000 in free tickets to baseball's All-Star game and the Super Bowl. Okay? A businessman offered him $200,000 for the ball. He said, no, no, no. And I guarantee you the Giants approached him as well.
Oh, of course. Of course they
did. Yeah. And it doesn't say in this article. This is actually an article from ESPN from 2008 by Jamel Hill.
Okay.
So she doesn't say that the Giants approached him. I'm assuming they did, because obviously they're going to want to get that ball back for Bonds, and who can, at his discretion, submit it to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
That ball sold at auction for $752,467.
Whoa.
So there is nothing that Major League Baseball can offer anybody that is worth that. They could say, you can get free season tickets for the next 2 years if you catch this ball. All it's going to do is, it's, if people know the payout ahead of time, it's going to cause more problems like this. Mm. It's going to be more issues in the stands of people fighting for those balls, I believe.
Because, I saw that coming. Yep.
Because anytime there's a milestone, people pack the house anyway. The Tigers were not great this year, and Miggy was getting close to what, his 3,000th hit, 300th home run? Something, I can't remember
exactly. 500th home run.
That's what it was. It's before his 500th home run. They were packing the place.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were not good because people wanted that ball. They wanted to see it happen. So
yeah,
people show up anyway for those milestones, to see the milestones, to get the milestone ball, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they know the market value outside of the stadium. And if they don't want the stuff that the teams have to offer them, they're going to take it outside the stadium anyway. You know, like if they're more about the money for the ball, they're going to go take it to auction. Like he took it to Sotheby's to auction off. And the owner of Echo, you know, not the Echo shoes, but the Echo clothing company with like the rhino.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy who actually bought it for $750,000. So that's why I think they don't do it, and why they can't do it, because they can offer that stuff, but if people don't want it, it doesn't matter. Huh. You know, like we saw, was it a player for the Reds this year? Mookie Betts asked the fan for the ball.
Yeah.
So it's his first home run. Can I have the ball? The guy was nice enough. He tossed it back. Mookie Betts gave him a bat. I mean, that stuff goes on all the time in the stadium anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. So, yeah.
Like, well, you see the bullpen negotiate with kids, like four or five baseballs, whatever, bullpen right. balls. And
for nachos and whatever, all kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so yeah. That's the reason I don't think – that's, like, the real reason I don't think it would work is because it goes on already to some degree. People know the worth of those milestone balls, and if they don't want season tickets, they'll go get money for it. And then they'll buy season tickets anyway.
Right.
So
exactly. Okay. Okay, Brad. So you don't want to draw more fans to the stands. I guess that's fine.
It does draw. That's what I'm saying. It does draw. Anyway.
I know. I'm just teasing you. I had to defend myself somehow, even if it was crappy. Okay. No, you're right. You bring up a good point. I just wonder how many people are thinking something similar. And now that we fleshed it out, we can move on to our favorite topic ever.
Yes. I don't know why.
It's actually terrible.
It is. It's depressing, is what it is.
It is depressing. It's our, should we call it our topic? Not our favorite. It's our pet topic.
We'll call it our pet topic. Yeah.
I feel like that's more appropriate and also very accurate. Okay. It was reported, was it today?
Yeah,
today.
It was
reported today on the Score that the MLB work stoppage is almost certain on December 2nd. Now, there are a million nuances to this. Part one is nobody's playing baseball in December. Okay.
Right.
So everybody cool their jets. Okay. That's the first thing you need to know, that headline is intended to grab your attention. It did. There are some really relevant details in there. And also, they have time to work it out.
Right. The reason they say December 2nd, though, is because the CBA officially expires 11:59 p.m. Eastern time, December 1st.
Yep.
That's why they say December 2nd, that if they don't reach agreement, that that's like the official day and time that a lockout takes effect.
Now, that doesn't mean negotiations will stop. That doesn't mean
they have
stop.
To keep going.
They have to keep going. And there's a lot of jobs on the line that, like, what are we going to never have baseball again? That's not going to happen. And these people are not foolish enough to allow that to happen. So, duh. But that doesn't mean it won't be a problem into spring training, potentially, and into all the way through April, all the way through May, potentially, into June. We don't know. That's the real problem. So, it is a true issue. It's just not as sensational as that headline makes it sound.
Right. Yeah. And what it will do, though, is MLB could put a halt to all free agent signings, to all trades. So we could literally have zero baseball news during that time besides updates with the CBA. Just because if there's nothing going on, there's nothing to talk about. That means no winter meetings. Like I said, no trades, no free agent signings. Nothing. We could be resorting to the KBO again, Brig.
Right. No draft. There would be no. Remember that funky combine thing? Like, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
None of that will take place. What are teams going to do? Tryouts, and they'll hold out a baseball bat, and everybody grabs their handle. whoever gets the top. Yeah. Like, maybe we'll end up there. I don't know.
We might. I don't know.
Because I can see. Well, I can see organizations like the Yankees, trying to cobble together some kind of thing. You know, one of my favorite movies is The Replacements. Don't tell anybody I said that, with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
And that could be a kind of a fun scenario to see happen.
Well, so it's funny you actually bring that up, because I think there's actually specific language in this current CBA that says they can't do that.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah, because they were getting ready to do it.
Scabs?
Yeah, they're getting ready to do it in 95.
Yeah.
In fact, Brig, if you watch the ESPN 30 for 30, Jordan Rides the Bus, they talk about how Michael Jordan was offered a spot with the White Sox as a scab. And he said, no, I'm part of the NBA Players Union. I can't cross a picket line and go play. And that's what sent him back to the NBA.
Yep. It makes sense.
So
it is specific language in the current CBA that they're not allowed to hire replacement players.
I believe so. Yeah, I read that somewhere. I think it was either MLB or NFL. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it was MLB because they had talked about it in the 90s.
So, hold on. Would that be driven by the Players Association? It would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then it gives the ownership side of things incentive to negotiate. Right, because they're putting players down there. Like, granted, it might be an inferior product, but they have players out there drawing a crowd. Right.
At least something.
And they're minor leaguers because they're not part of a union.
Right.
So it gives them a chance to showcase the future. Right.
Right.
So yes. Owners have every reason in the world to bring in scabs. But the players are like, well, no, but then you have no reason to negotiate with us.
For sure. Exactly.
So, yeah.
See, it's so interesting.
Yeah. And it's a great big mess, too, because these two sides hate each other as it is. And the Players Association is going, filed a grievance. Let's see. It says, this is according to The Score, like I said. It says, as bargaining sputtered this year, the union began a grievance hearing before arbitrator Martin F. Scheinman on September 27th on its claim that the 60-game schedule in the 2020 pandemic-affected season was too short.
Come on, dude.
Everybody had a role in that, let's be honest.
Everybody did.
Unless it is, as Rob Manfred alluded to, that it was always going to be 60 games, and then the players have a legitimate issue. And there could be even bigger problems here. There could be a lawsuit that could tie things up.
That's right.
I don't know.
Baseball family, I don't know if you know, but they play baseball in Australia. They play baseball in Taiwan, Japan, Korea. It'll be fine. We're here for you.
Well, and think about this too, Brick. Think about this. There are a whole lot more readily available independent leagues than there were just even 2-3 years ago.
Immediately.
So.
Immediately you can watch independent baseball.
Mm-hmm. Still lots of baseball available.
Yep. So it won't be, all is not lost to get your baseball fix. Just that it is terribly interesting and we will keep you apprised.
And terribly frightening.
Details. Well, I don't think it's frightening. I think we're watching a culture clash. I think we're seeing a landmark situation happen in real time again. Those of us that were there, right? 94.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's going to happen is we're going to learn a lot from this situation.
Well, and this is the other problem we have too, though, is how many fans left in 94, 95 and didn't come back.
No, I just talked to a guy the other day. He's one of my coworkers. He was like, because this is the eighth or ninth one now at this point. If they do a full work stoppage, this is eight or nine in the last forever. That's 150 years. And most of them happened between like 1960 and 1994, 1965 or something like that. So what you end up with is generational apathy. And this guy said, he's like, I haven't watched baseball since 1994. I was like, that's so sad. And he was like, I am still sad about it. And that's the problem, is everybody's retaining that injury, right? And it never, ever heals, ever. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law is the same way. He was like, he only started watching baseball again when I came into the family. That's the only reason he started watching baseball. But until then, he was completely against it because he was so upset that they were squabbling the way they were in 94.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, rightly so. But both sides have legitimate concerns.
Mm-hmm.
At least this time. I don't know about last time, but this time they have legitimate concerns, and it is not going to be simple at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it could take a while. But the thing that's encouraging is that with a work stoppage, it means there's nothing else standing in their way. There's nothing else going on keeping them from negotiating. So I would expect them to be at the negotiating tables all day, every day until a deal is reached. But we've seen with other sports that can take some time still. So I don't know.
Yep.
We'll continue. Well,
and they're inherently adversarial. But now we have two personalities that are both inept and or adversarial.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for those of you who don't know.
This is just the fan's perspective. You know, like that's
right. Yeah, I was gonna say, for those of you who don't know, Tony Clark, who is the MLBPA president, he might hate Rob Manfred more than anybody we've ever heard of.
More than we do, so, for sure.
Yeah, I would say for sure. So
He is probably toilet papering Rod Manfred's house every weekend. It's bad. It's got to be bad.
And then he hoses it down.
Oh, yeah. Throw a little egg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Kids. That's not what you don't do that. You do not throw eggs at people's homes ever.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You can throw toilet paper and water it down, though. That's okay.
And with that, let's take a break. We'll get back and talk about the World Series.
No matter which ballpark you're at, you want to rep your team. Now you can with 9 Plus Us. Welcome to the Big City Series. With every design available in your team's colors, you can fit in with the home crowd or stand out on the road. Either way, we have the colors you crave. Shop the Big City Series and find designs that rep your favorite baseball podcast, cheer from the cheap seats, and much more. Shop the Big City Series only at 9plusus.com.
You know what, Brig?
What's that, Brad?
I'm just not much of a coffee drinker.
Boy, I knew that. You're still stuck in your yummy phase.
Yeah, that's true.
So what exactly do you do to get it going in the morning? I know it is not a good night's sleep.
You're right, it's not. Instead, I drink Raise. I tried a ton of different energy drinks over the last few years to help me get up in the morning, and it is by far the best tasting. It's mildly flavored, yet still flavorful. There's no crash, so I actually feel like I can finish the workday when it wears off around 2:30.
Visit repsports.com. That's R-E-P-P sports.com. And use code BTPOD at checkout to support the Baseball Together podcast and to get 15% off your sampler pack, variety pack, or custom order of Raise Energy.
The Nonetheless Sports Podcast is the home of sports talk for everyone. Every other week, you can catch David and Jason as they talk about all things sports. From current events to classic moments and everything in between, you can find the Nonlinear Sports Podcast on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and more. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Welcome back, baseball family. For those of you watching on YouTube, might notice our rosy red cheeks and our bloodshot eyes. Brad and I have just spent the last like 12 minutes laughing uncontrollably. I don't know why. It had a lot to do with Rob Manfred, though, which is, I feel like, on theme, right? Just terribly consistent for us. But we need to talk about the World Series, Brad. We got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of storylines that we think are really interesting. And first and foremost, we've got to talk about Dusty Baker. Now, before we get into the details of Dusty Baker, I have to say one of my favorite things was, well, okay, hold on. I got to back up. Brad, do you watch the post-game victory celebration? Do you watch the podium with the trophy presentations and the champagne in the house and all that? Like, do you watch any of that or no?
My answer to that question is it depends. So if it's a team that it's their first World Series title, it's their first trip to the World Series, like first ALCS, AL title, NL title, pennant, whatever. Yes, I'll watch it every time just because I think it's cool, right? Get to see those guys celebrate, get to see the organization celebrate for the first time. It's a big deal. I will always watch that. However, that being said, and also if a team hasn't won in a long time, like last year with the Dodgers, I watched with the Dodgers because it had been, you know, 30 some odd years, whatever. Yeah. That being said, the Astros winning the ALCS last out turned it off. The Braves, I watched a little bit of it just because I had stuff going on, so I didn't have time to watch it. But if I had time, I would have sat there and watched it. If the Astros win the World Series, I will not watch it. If the Braves win, I will watch it. So it all depends on who won, if I want to see it or not.
Good answers. Yeah.
What about you?
I watch it every single time. And I watch it every single time because the expressions of joy and triumph and celebration, there's, to me, it's just this extra layer of magic that baseball brings. Of course, it's available in other sports. But to see the infusion of joy into our favorite thing, why would you not watch that, right? And I understand your argument. It makes perfect sense to me about you know, it's nothing new, and maybe it's, and sometimes those celebrations are a little bit lackluster, but there's always somebody in that clubhouse who's never done it before.
Right. Yeah, no, I understand that.
There's always somebody who it's their first time, or it's their first time in however long, or it's their, you know, they've overcome whatever. And so like Jordan Alvarez is a great example, right? That dude is on fire, and he won the MVP in the ALCS, and it was deserving, and he did all the right stuff. And I wanted to hear from him. Like, I wanted to hear from him.
Yeah.
So I watch it every single time. And what happens is you end up with these gems of personality, right? Like, I got to watch Jose Altuve's acceptance speech. He was sat next to A-Rod and David Ortiz and I think Frank Thomas. And they were talking, and it was just blah. It was just another day in the life for Jose Altuve. And, you know, he said all the right things, and he, you know, whatever. And at the end of the day, I was like, and I hate to say this, but they even spent more time talking about Dustin Pedroia after Jose Altuve's interview that they did about Jose Altuve. And to me, I was like, now that feels pretty good to me, you know, like for personal reasons, right? Personal reasons, but at the same time, it's just those storylines come out. So, like, you wouldn't, if you didn't watch, you wouldn't know that A-Rod, Poppy, and Big Hurt talking about Pedroia.
Yeah,
after they interviewed Altuve, and to me, that's the beauty, man. That's the joy. Those are the personal storylines that make baseball wonderful, because it is a team effort. There's all this stuff going on. But they're individuals, man. So when Dusty Baker accepted or got up there in that same group of guys, that same group of announcers and analysts, you know what the first thing he said was?
What's
that? He said, I thank God and I thank Hank Aaron. And I was like, what? And he thanked his dad. He's like, God, my dad, and Hank Aaron. And I was like, my man. You know, like, I have my opinion to Dusty Baker before. We've talked about it. I think he's fabulous. I love Dusty Baker, and I love everything that's going on for him. But then in the pinnacle of his late professional career, he's going to thank Hank Aaron for trailblazing and teaching him and, you know, all that stuff that went on in their career. And I was like, dude is older than creek dirt. And he's killing it. He's 70 something years old. He's killing it. And he remembers all the way back to the 60s when Hank Aaron helped him out, you know? Man. And if you don't watch the post game and if you don't watch the celebration, you don't get stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
I love it. That's my argument.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I understand what I'm missing with it. You know, there's always the stories, there's always the human side of things. Mostly what it is, and like, this is gonna sound like I'm just a hater, but I don't want to see guys like Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve be happy. So just kidding.
Brad, the black flag. Ladies,
I have doubled up hat and shirt today.
You are
black
doubled
flag
up.
Is fully waving.
I noticed. You're about to spit on your hands and see what happens, aren't you?
No, I'm just kidding. But no, really though. But so back to Dusty Baker real quick though. So this was a conversation that we had beforehand, because we saw this on Instagram. We both saw this on Instagram today, right?
Yeah.
Where they said that Dusty Baker started his career, he made his debut on September 7th, 1968 for the Atlanta Braves against the Houston Astros.
That's right.
And now what could very well be the bookend of his entire career. We don't know what his plans are for next year. I mean,
I doubt it, but it's possible.
I think he's under contract still. But anyway, be a heck of a way to go out if they win this thing. Now he's coaching or managing the Houston Astros against the Atlanta Braves in the World Series. I mean, that is a full and complete circle. And what better way to go out? Especially
no better way. No better way. And, you know, part of me, so this is interesting. Everybody was like, and I put this on TikTok, right? I was like, what am I supposed to do with the ALCS. I'm like, I'm a Yankees fan. I gotta the Houston Astros or the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like, this is an unfair position to put me in. I have to watch these games. I have to have an opinion. And my cute daughter, she drew her line in the sand very, very cleanly. She knew exactly what the Kool-Aid I was feeding her was saying. So I just said, you just leave that up to interpretation. But that 5-year-old knows what right looks like. Okay. So
I think we had that conversation was last week, 2 weeks ago.
That's right. So I'm sitting there and she's like, Dad, she says, Dad, can I just root for a good game? Can I root for either of them? And I was like, you're way better than I'll ever be. You're the coolest little kid. She's 5. And she said, can we just, basically what she was asking was, can I just be excited that it's good baseball? I was like, that's what I'm doing. But I wasn't going to lead you down this primrose path, right? You got to figure it out on your own. And she did. It didn't take her 20 years like it did everybody else. Holy crap. She's the coolest. Okay. The point is, though, I was sitting there rooting for Kyle Schwarber and Kike Hernandez.
Right.
And then Dusty Baker. I was like, this is complicated. this is really hard for me. Did you have similar conflict, Brad? Am I the only one?
No, you're not the only one. I was mostly cheering for success, right? Like just good baseball. However, I do laugh when things go wrong just because I think it's funny. I like the chaos, right? Like I love chaos baseball. So the more errors there are in a big game with like lots of stakes and my team's not playing in it. I love it. Every single time I just sit and laugh like, oh yes, the ball's flying around the field and nobody knows what to do with it. It's so fun. I love it. So I had moments like that, but ultimately I was cheering for the Red Sox because I refuse to cheer for a division rival. Absolutely refuse to. Will not do it unless it's the Angels, as we've established, because my wife is an Angels fan. I'll throw her a bone on that. But if they're playing the Mariners, I mean, she can get out. I mean, I'm not going to cheer for the Angels in that case. So
she can get out.
Quick story about that, Briggs. So this was probably, oh man, this was like 12 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, something like that. We went down to Southern California to visit her family. And on our way, I was like, oh man, I wonder if the Mariners are in town. Brig, the stars and planets aligned. Our trip was planned, booked and everything. And the Mariners happened to be in town legitimately, like hand up. I swear to you, I did not plan this trip around the Mariners being in town playing the Angels.
You might as well have though, right?
I could not have gotten luckier, Brig, because I was planning on, I was like, let's go to an Angels game anyway. I wonder, because I need to pack accordingly. Got to put my Griffey jersey in the bag so I have it at the game. She was not happy with me. The Mariners actually ended up winning the game. She was not happy with my enthusiasm when there was a two-run double hit right in front of us in the outfield. And yeah, it was a good time though. This was just like, it's like, yes, the Mariners scored against you and you and you.
Take that.
Because honestly, like, we went to that game, I think it was one of the seasons the Mariners lost 100 games, and we went to that game. I was like, I just hope we don't get blown out. That's all. Yeah. I just want to see a close game. Ended up winning by like 5 runs, I think, 4 or 5 runs. Jeez, so.
That's amazing.
And I was insufferable, and I don't apologize for it.
No, of course. Jeez. I would expect you to apologize had you been anything but insufferable, sir. Okay. No, there's only one way to play that.
But anyway. All right, so I do have one more little Dusty Baker nugget for you, Brig, okay?
Okay,
back to the topic at hand. So Dusty Baker is the 9th manager to make it to the World Series in both the American League and the National League. I happen to have here in front of me the list. Okay, are you ready?
Ruh-roh. Yeah.
So we have Joe McCarthy with the Cubs and the Yankees, Al Dark with the Giants and A's, Yogi Berra, Yankees and Mets, Dick Williams, Red Sox, A's and Padres, Sparky Anderson, Reds and Tigers, Tony La Russa, A's and Cardinals, Jim Leland, Marlins and Tigers, Joe Madden, Rays and Cubs, and then we have Dusty Baker, Giants and Astros. Three have won the World Series from both leagues, coming from AL and NL.
Whoa.
Who do you think? I'll give you, Brick, I'm going to give you 50 points if you can name me one of them.
Joe Madden.
No.
John Madden, sorry.
No, not Joe Madden. No, he didn't win with the Rays.
Oh, that's right. He made it, but he didn't win.
Yeah.
Okay. Tony La Russa.
Okay, there's one.
50 bucks.
I said 50 points, not 50 bucks.
Oh. What good is your points?
If it's they're not any good. Man.
What is this? Whose line is it anyway?
The rules are made up and the points don't matter. Let's
be honest. That's right. Yes. Thanks, Drew.
So the other two, though, I bet you could name at least one of the other
Sparky Anderson and Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra did not win a World Series as a manager.
You're right. You're right. You're right. But it's Sparky Anderson, Tony La Russa, and I don't know.
The other one. I know you know it. Yeah. It's been in our lifetime. It's Jim Leland.
Really? Jim Leland?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but that being said, there will still only be three after this World Series because Dusty Baker didn't win it with the Giants.
You can't. Right. Exactly. So. Okay, but think of the company he's in. We're talking a list of three up against a list of nine in over 150 years of professional baseball.
I'm wrong, Brig. I assumed that the Tigers won it. So I was not legitimately watching any baseball in 2006. Did not watch a single game. I forgot that was the year the White Sox won, right? No, that was 2005. Yeah. But I thought the Tigers won it in 2006. They did not. My bad.
No.
So only two.
Not three, two?
Only two. Sparky Anderson and
Tony La Russa.
And Tony La Russa, yep.
The two I picked.
Yep. Good job. Good work,
Greg. That's 100 points.
That's 100 points. Very good.
Yeah. I'm glad they don't matter, but I'm glad I have them.
You never know when you can cash those in. Put those in your pocket for a rainy day.
I'll put them right here.
Very good. Excellent. Love it.
All right.
Okay. Anyway.
Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers is out for the World Series, the entire World Series.
The whole time.
Forearm strain, MRI showed nothing wrong with his UCL. Likely doesn't need Tommy John. We shall see. We don't know.
What he did say is that the specific injury that he has typically takes 6 to 8 weeks of rest to heal. So that is far beyond the World Series because we're going to be done with the World Series Center here in a week and a half.
Yeah.
And that's trouble though for the Astros.
Wait. The World Series. Okay.
There we go. Okay. Now you said
I've got my kid saying that. She'll go around. Perfect. She'll go, dad, who's playing in the World Series? And she stops herself. In order to make sure she checks the box. I'm like, that's my
awesome. Nice. Love it.
Anyway.
That's amazing.
Now who else is out? Joe Kelly? Is it Joe Kelly that's out?
Well, yeah, he's not playing.
Right, he's not playing at all.
Right.
I'm sorry. He plays for the Dodgers. Oh my word.
But no.
Never mind.
So let's get back on McCullers here for a second though, Brig, because this is a big deal.
Fast things move. Yeah, McCullers is huge.
He was the Astros' best pitcher this regular season. He was
the whole time
very good for them the postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, and not to say that they're gonna have to turn to scrubs, right? Because you've got Luis Garcia, who's very good. And
did you watch Luis Garcia win that game? You were coaching baseball.
Yeah, I missed a lot of the last couple weeks because of baseball. Just coaching baseball.
Bro, I'm not kidding. Okay, I have to tell you. I sat there watching Luis Garcia, and I was like, oh, my goodness sakes. I was like, what is happening? Who is this guy? They could not figure him out. Could not.
Well, the Red Sox couldn't figure out anybody the last three games.
I know.
It was out of control. Special, they got outscored, what, 22-1 over three games?
Yes. But this Luis Garcia frightened me.
Yeah.
If I'm Frederick, I am worried. Okay. I am legitimately concerned about Luis Garcia. And he's a rookie.
You know who else the Braves should be worried about? I'm telling you this now, Brig. It's Kyle Tell Tucker.
Oh, I know.
Our accountant friend, Kyle Tucker. Because he, so I have the Astros team page up on Baseball Reference right now. And he is second for the Astros this season in WAR. Behind only one Carlos Correa.
Well, that's because Carlos Correa is an amazing ball player.
He is an amazing ball player.
Like, amazing.
You've also got, as far as like pitchers go, though, back to pitchers real quick.
Yeah.
Framber Valdez, who is starting game one for the Astros. He was their third best pitcher, which is saying something because he's pretty good. I mean.
Oh, he's great.
To put it simply.
Totally. He's not no scrub. He's not hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride. No way.
No chance. Nope. Not he's driving. That guy. He's driving. Yeah.
But he is a safer option and is coming up in the rotation to lead off of game one. Like, it's perfect. It makes perfect sense for him to be the guy who's like, win or lose, it's going to be okay. We're going to have a strong start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that anybody is saying win or lose, but that's how it feels, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But then, and this is the thing, too, that I wanted to talk about matchups a little bit because I love matchups. I love the sports are about matchups. Like, you can have, like, the transitive, is it the transitive property? A is greater than B, B is greater than C, therefore A is greater than C.
You can't do it in your normal voice, Brad. You that's illegal.
The A is greater than B, B is greater than C, therefore, Brig, A is greater than C. Doesn't work in baseball or sports.
Doesn't work.
Yes? Right? Question mark? I don't know. I don't know. I was too excited about your voice. I don't know.
But so, and this is something, so real quick though, this is something we talked about leading up to the league championship series though.
Right.
That we have an offense first team in the Astros coming up against a pitching centric team in the Braves. An unstoppable force against an immovable object.
Let the magic happen. Okay. I don't know. I have seven games.
Uh-huh.
I can six. I have seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to come down to the DH. Honestly. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to come down to who leverages the DH position effectively and who does not. Because you're right. Offense is going to dominate, or pitching is going to dominate, or they're going to stalemate one another.
So,
which is why I think which stadium we're playing in at which point is going to be the factor. Which is why I love the split.
I know you do, and this is my thing, Brig. I'm going to say it right now. I've been saying all year long. I thought the Astros were one of the top two, three teams in baseball. I legitimately thought they were one of the best teams. However, their problem is their bullpen and being down Lance McCullers. Those are going to be big problems for them.
That is a game changer. Literally.
And you talk about the DH. How's this for an outfield for the Braves? Now, these are all guys who they acquired later in the season. You got Jock Peterson.
Yep.
Eddie Rosario, who was out of his absolute freaking mind in the NLCS.
Dude, well, and Jock is batting 565 or something crazy in the postseason. The
pearls. Jocktober, dude, man.
It's Jocktober.
It is.
Yep. And it's a full replacement outfield.
Mm-hmm. It is. So, let's see. Oh, and then you've got Inciarte, and then you've got Guillermo Heredia, who is, like, obviously, like, the second-tier guy. But he's been solid. He's been solid.
He's reliable. So, here's what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
When I said the DH is going to be the linchpin in this situation, I think that's true. But I think it will come down to how Houston will manage not being able to use the DH in Atlanta. That's the key. Right. So that's what I mean by when I say the DH. Like, the Braves got DHs. They can throw a guy up to the plate, no big deal, but it will be watching Houston deal with it when they're here. That's what that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Woo! It's going to be good. I got the Braves. I think the Braves have what it takes to pull it out. I want the Braves to win. I do not want the Houston Astros to win. I want Dusty Baker to win, though. So I'm a little bit split. But if you wanted where I would put my money, I'm putting it on the Braves.
Yeah, same. Well, and kind of along the same lines of what you're talking about, like, I want to see the Braves win. The Braves were my National League team in the 90s, right? Just about everybody's National League team.
Of course, right? Yeah.
Thank you, TBS.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, like, it really hurts me to say this. Like, if the Astros win, I'm fine, just because I really hope we can be like, put the whole cheating thing aside.
I agree with that.
We have to assume they weren't cheating this year. I know we said that for a long time. We have to assume they're not cheating. We said that about a lot of people, and we've been burned in the past as a fan base. But at the same time, like, we have to assume they were under a microscope, and if they were cheating, it would have been brought to light by now.
Well,
and so we can just put it all aside and say, okay, let's be done. As fans, we can coexist once again, and we can go back to hating the Yankees as a unit.
Hey, knock it off. The Royal, we don't give a crap. We don't care.
And that's fine. That's why everybody can hate the Yankees, because you don't care.
That's why it works, because there's more of us than there are of you collectively. So that's fine.
And you're probably not wrong.
Here's
because there are front runners everywhere you go.
That's right. Here's the thing, though. I totally, totally agree with you. And if the Astros won, I would support that every single day. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move past it. And I love Dusty Baker. Love him. So I think it's part microscope. You're absolutely right. They're being scrutinized heavily. Players, fans, league, all of the above. But I think Dusty Baker is not going to put up with that.
Right. Yeah.
I really don't think he's going to put up with it, especially because of the added scrutiny, right? They asked him a million times in all these interviews post-game, how have you come into it? What has been your mindset coming in? All the turmoil in the organization, all the turmoil with the players and lots of turnover, et cetera, et cetera. And I just, based on his answers and some like empathetic reading or whatever, and I could be way off, but his career and his answers in every one of those scenarios just leads me to believe that I don't think he's putting up with it. I think he's going to win honest. And if it's going to be, that's it. If he's going to win, it's going to be honest. So, and that's what I hope for. So there's plenty of like bias going into this. I understand that. If I get burned on this one, it's going to be rough, bad, like real bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like work stoppage in 94, bad. Truthfully. But what I'm saying is I'm holding out hope that this is no longer taking place and that Dusty Baker is the guy for the job.
I agree with you. And honestly, I feel like this is the other reason I feel like it's like under a microscope, is because if they're getting away with it now, there are a lot of people who are losing their jobs, and it's not going to stop with the organization. Because, I mean, steroids went to Congress, partially because it was an illegal drug being distributed in clubhouses willy-nilly, and nobody was really – everybody was kind of looking the other way. But on the other hand, though, like, they're taking away people's livelihood, and there could be legitimate lawsuits this time. Lawsuits directly to Rob Manfred, because he didn't punish anybody before. You didn't create a disincentive to a reason to not do it again.
Yep.
You know, I could see players getting together and suing the MLB front office for not doing something about it. So I feel like there's a whole lot more stake for a lot more people to keep the Astros from cheating again.
Well, and anybody else. I don't think we need to pick on the Astros.
I just think they're the easy example. Like, at this point, in this
situation, yes.
Because there were accusations this postseason that were baseless, but you know.
With the light in the bullpen.
Well, it's before that even. But that's the most recent one.
Anyway, and there's plenty of significance there. I'm just saying, like, I need this to be pure. I need it to be clean. I think Dusty Baker's the guy to make it happen. I really do. But at the end of the day, we talk about playing baseball, and we know that small ball is where it's at. It has been where it's at this whole postseason. Not that the Astros can't, but the Braves do.
Right.
And I think that's what it's going to come down to. And how the Astros deal with not having a DH when they play in Atlanta is going to be the thing. I hope. That's what I think. What do you think?
I think you're spot on with that. And so we have a buddy from school. I don't know if you ever were around Adam much, but
My buddy.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure just because he wasn't really there the semester that you and I were hanging out. But anyway, So my buddy Adam is a new baseball fan. He was covering sports in Washington, became a Mariners fan. So he kind of comes to me as far as like, okay, why is this the way it is? Why did this work out the way that it did? And one of the things I told him was, I was like, honestly, what it's going to come down to for me is bullpen play, because starting pitchers don't go more than 100 pitches typically.
Unless sometimes it's only 70. Yeah.
Depending on the outing. Yeah. And it all depends on, you know, like a break glass in case of emergency thing where a guy's really rolling and it's game 6 of the World Series. They're probably going to let him go unless it's the Rays and it's Blake Snell, but
yeah,
they're going to be getting into bullpens. And the Atlanta bullpen is way better than the Houston bullpen.
Way better.
So much better. Like, the Astros made a deal for Kendall Graveman. I've talked about this multiple times now with Seattle. He was the best reliever Seattle had at the time. He's come over to Houston and has not been the same guy.
Yeah.
He's been good. He's been good, but he has not been lights out.
No. But he was in Seattle.
Oh, big time.
which is interesting about the clubhouse and the culture. See, this is the intangibles. And it could be as simple as stuff with his family or his accommodations or who knows. Mm-hmm. And maybe he just doesn't like the color orange. I don't know.
I don't blame him. Let's be real.
Maybe his chakras are out of alignment because of the color orange. It's totally possible.
Could be.
But I'm just saying he's still good. He's just not the same. It's the same as Sonny Gray, right? Sonny Gray went from Oakland, where he was shredding people, literally insane.
Mowing everybody down.
To New York, where he couldn't do anything. Now to Cincinnati, where he's solid again. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're like, geez. So, I don't know. That kind of stuff happens is what I mean. But you're right.
It does.
The pitching is going to be huge.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm literally peeing my pants. I have a speaking engagement tomorrow night, so I'm going to miss a little bit of game one, and I'm a little upset about it, but at the same time, anyway, I'll just record it. So I will be radio silent the rest of the evening. I'll come home and I'll watch all of game one with no commercials.
There you go. That's the way to do it. Yeah, we have baseball this week, so I think we're going to miss, I'm going to miss parts of game one and probably, no, I don't think I'll miss game two, but anyway, I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Just got to get through game one first. So, but baseball family, let us know who you think is going to win. Let us know. I'm actually going to put a poll in the description of the episode. It's only available, unfortunately, only available on Spotify. So if you listen to the podcast there, check it out there. If you happen to have Spotify, go find us there and you can participate in the poll. Tell us who you think is going to win. Is it going to be the Astros? Is it going to be the Braves? Who you got? Let us know.
Don't forget to jump on the shop as well, baseball family. We got the best stuff. I'm currently, for those of you watching on YouTube, my KBO shirts, Korean Baseball Organization. This is my NC Dinos shirt. It says baseball together, both in Korean script and the romanized pronunciation for those of us that don't read Korean, okay? and I've got my perfect hat on. As we've established earlier, Brad is double dipping with his pirate baseball Blackjack Brad inspired apparel. Okay, this was for him. This is his line, and he's hoisting that black flag, spitting on his hands, and we're excited about it. He's already made some people angry tonight, which we always love. So you can get all of the stuff that we're rocking, including this fine mug that I drink out of when we do on the show, at 9plusus.com. It's NINEPLUSUS.com, 9plusus.com. The perfect time to jump on and get some Christmas gifts. Don't forget that season is coming quickly, and the shipping timelines are coming quickly to a close to ensure that you get your baseball family members something from the shop in time. So 9plusus.com, NINEPLUSUS.com.
Yep, hop on the shop. That's right. And don't forget, you can also hop on baseballtogether.com where you can watch the podcast, listen to the podcast, and submit to the mailbag with the link up in the navigation. It says submit to mailbag. You can just put your message in there and send it over, and it'll come straight to us so we can respond to it and give you a shout on the show as well. But yeah, World Series is here. It's one of those bittersweet things, right? Because I get a little bit sad when there's no more baseball. And by that, I mean a lot of it sad. And it's coming quick. But let's enjoy it while we still have it and while we can. That's right. Yep. And on that note, baseball family, we will catch you next week.